I was one of those guys that Sunday morning, on Easter Sunday morning, that meant getting chocolate bunny rabbits and Easter eggs and sitting around the house and just doing whatever I wanted to do. My Christmases were the same way. But you know what? One day I discovered the love of Jesus. And I discovered how the Spirit of God came into me. Because this is why I say this all the time. Without the Spirit of God, you don't understand any of this. You would rather be any other place in the world besides this church this morning. But I'm here to tell you this morning, once I got to know Jesus as my personal Savior, got to know His love, got to know the Spirit of God in my life, Greg, it changed. I had a desire to be in His house. But if I hadn't known that, I had no desire to be in God's house. Didn't want to have nothing to do with it. Didn't care. And, you think about that. You know, we're here this morning, and hopefully I'm preaching to the choir this morning. But if I'm not, brothers and sisters, if you're not like that, brothers, I understand you this morning. If you're sitting here this morning and do not know Jesus as your Savior, you don't want to be here. But can I tell you something? Praise His name. I'm going to talk about love today. When He was hanging on that cross, after they beat Him half to death, after He carried a 70-pound piece of wood for almost a mile and a half, and then they nailed Him to that cross and let Him up there, He looked down at the people that did that and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They know not what they do. There was a time this old boy here didn't know what he was doing. But God still loved me. He still loved me. He still loved me. And one day I got to know Him as a personal Savior. And I hope and pray. And I said this to a guy at work one time because he'd come in my office and we were talking. And I said, "Listen," and he didn't know the Lord. I said, "I want to tell you something." I said, "I hope and pray for you that one day before you go out of this world that you know Jesus as your Savior. Because you don't want to go out of this world without knowing Him. You can have all your friends around you. You can have all the people around you that maybe that you think are your friends. You can have them all around you when you go out of this world. You need Jesus. You need Jesus as your Savior." Absolutely. I'm going to continue on with my theme that I've started the last couple of weeks. I'm going to be over in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. I'm going to read one verse of Scripture, then I'm going to go into it from there. But I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. One verse. If you would, if you can, if you're able this morning, stand with me and let's read this verse together. Happy Easter. Praise the Lord this morning. "And now abideth faith, hope, and charity." And while I'm telling you that, if you see the word charity there, you can put love right there because that's what it means. "These three, but the greatest of these is charity." Brother said when he died on that cross, the greatest of these is charity. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with thanksgiving in my heart, Lord. I want to praise You, Lord, for all that You've given, Lord. I want to thank You, Father, for the opportunity to be in Your house this morning. I want to thank You, Lord, for the love that you just showed, that You sent Your Son down here to die for us. You loved us. And Father, we just praise You for that. Lord, I ask You, Lord, to be with everyone in this service this morning, Lord. Be with their hearts. Stir them, Lord, if You can. Lord, you know, but Lord, if they're saved, Lord, just bless them even more, Lord. Father, if they're not saved, Lord, I pray that the convicting power of the Spirit be upon their lives. For Lord, You are the one, God. You are the one. And Father, we praise You for that this morning. And thank You. We ask it all in Your Son Jesus' name. And amen. And amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Thank you. The verse of Scripture, this is an amazing chapter to begin with, chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. This is an amazing chapter because if you go back to chapter 12, it's talking about gifts of the Spirit. If you go to chapter 14, it's talking about gifts of the Spirit. Well, Paul says in the last verse in chapter 12, he says this, Lastly, he said, but covet earnestly the best gifts, yet shew I unto you a more excellent way. You know what that more excellent way is? If you go down and you read chapter 13, the more excellent way is love. Absolutely. It supersedes everything else that we could have in our lives. This is a nutshell version of the Christian life. It's faith, it's hope, and love. If you've been here the last 2 weeks, faith began your Christian walk. Amen? It's by faith are you saved, right? It's by grace. You are saved. Brothers and sisters, you entered in your relationship with God by faith. Hope is what carries you through this Christian walk. Amen? If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I'm telling you, you still have hope this morning. You still have that hope. But brother, hope carries us Christians through. But can I tell you something this morning about the last one I'm going to talk about? Love is the only one of the three that is eternal. Did you know that? How do you know that? Well, once you get to heaven, Greg, we don't need faith no more, do we? We don't need faith no more. Because, brothers and sisters, our faith will become sight. Our faith will become sight. We don't need it no more. And can I tell you something else why it's the only one that's eternal there? Because our hope will be fulfilled. When we get to heaven, all that we've ever hoped for, all that we've ever hoped for in this life, it will be fulfilled. But praise God, there's only going to be one, brother, there's going to be an eternal, and that's the charity, and that's the love that we're talking about this morning. In Revelations 22, 3 and 4, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Brother, when we get to heaven, we're going to see the one that died on that cross for us. All faith ain't going to be needed no more, and all hope will be fulfilled. Praise his name. We don't need it no more. All of our hopes shall be realized. But love will be perfected when we stand in the presence of pure love. Can I have an amen this morning? We will stand in the presence of pure love one day. That's why 1 Corinthians 13, I'll read it again now, abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Say that with me. The greatest of these is charity. And it's not, and again, you can put love in here because that's what it means. The greatest of these is love. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm telling you what, whenever I was the worst human being on this planet at one time. That's the way I feel. I'm telling you this morning, he loved me. And I'm telling you this morning, he loves you this morning. No matter where you're at. It's eternal because that's what God is. In 1 John chapter 4, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love. Absolutely, you can mark it down. When we stand in the presence of a pure and holy God one day, it'll be such love will fill our souls, will fill us. We'll know what true love is. I say this quite a bit, and I mean, I love my wife to no end down here on this planet. But brothers and sisters, listen. The love that God had for us goes beyond everything that we can feel down here on this earth. Do you understand that? No matter what, whenever he was, like I said, he looked down and said, Father, forgive them. You know not what. Listen, it's hard for people to forgive when they do stuff against us, is it not? It's hard for us to forgive. I'm not going to stand up here and say it's easy. But brothers, listen, it is hard when people come against us. And whenever they do things against us, it's hard to forgive them. But praise God, we serve a Lord that looks beyond all that. He looks beyond our faults. He looks beyond all that and says, I love you anyway. I love you anyway. We cannot comprehend that kind of love. I've tried to write down stuff this week and trying to figure out to comprehend that kind of love. You can't comprehend that kind of love. Listen, in chapter 13, in 1 Corinthians, in verse 8, it says this, and I want to read that, 13:8. And it says, charity or love never faileth. I want you to mark that in your Bible, because you know what? I start my sermons usually on Monday. What I do, I usually try to take notes down through the week, and I try to do that. And I know I'm usually into it hot and heavy, but Saturday night, I wrote that down on Monday. Do you know what that translates out to be? Love never collapses. Love never collapses. Well, I wrote that down Monday, the day before that Francis Scott Key bridge collapsed. The bridge collapsed that next day. And I wrote down that thought before that. I read that. It says that love never collapses. This world, there's a lot of things, brothers, that can fail. There's a lot of things that can collapse. Brother, you know, our marriages, our health, our jobs, there's so much things around us that can fail us and can collapse in around us. But brothers and sisters, he's saying right there in that verse 8, charity or love never collapses. It never fails us. Amen. Whenever that happened, and I wrote that down the day before, I thought to myself, man, Lord, you are so good. You're so good. Not that because that tragedy happened, but because he wants to show us a point this morning and get across how much his love should mean to us. All these things can fail. Why? Because we live in a sin-cursed world. We do. Brothers, but brothers, his love will never fail. Jeremiah 17:5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Listen, I love my wife to no end, but I can't trust my wife with my soul. Amen? And neither should you trust any other person with your soul. That is in the trust of Jesus Christ. Amen? And maketh flesh his arm. But the Bible says there's only one thing that won't collapse, and that is God's love towards us. The only thing. Remember when Jesus said this, when he asked about the greatest commandment. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is likened unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang the law and the prophets. That's everything. Ken, that's everything right there. Right there. He said we need to love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, our souls, our mind. And if we love the people around us with that much, bless you, Luke, with that much love, I'm telling you right now, brother says, love will not fail. It will not fail. We sometimes, you know, love is not, this is how we think of love. If I do something good for somebody, then you know what? And they do something good back for me, man, I love that person. I love that person. That's not the love of God there. The love of God says, you know what? Even when that person does us wrong, even that person, you love them. Absolutely. You've got to love them. You got to love them. You got to do your best to love them. Is that hard? Absolutely, it's hard. It is hard. Paul expanded on that to Timothy and the importance of love in the Christian life and how to project it out. In 1 Timothy 1:5, it says this. Now the end of the commandment. Now I just read you the commandments right here, the two right here. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. That's love out of a pure heart. And of a good conscience and faith unfeigned. That's what it says. You know how that it can be totally right. Listen, this is how that is explained out. You can be right doctrinally. You can be right in the Bible. And you know, in studying your Bible and how you present the Bible. But if you don't have the love of God when you're doing it, it's wrong. It's wrong. If your whole idea is to just to pound across somebody's head because of that you're doctrinally right and that you know the scripture better than anybody else and you don't do it with the love of God, you might as well just go out these doors and just close your Bible because you're not going to get through to anybody. Amen? That's what he's trying to say there. Because if we are not teaching with love, if we are not preaching with love, witnessing with love, if we are not giving with love, the Bible tells me it's all in vain. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity and have not love, I have become as a sounding brass and as a twinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and can understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith. Now, do you get that? That I could remove mountains and have not love. What's it say? I'm nothing. I am nothing. Now let that sink in a little bit. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Let that sink in for a little bit in your heart. Let that sink in there a little bit. We could do all manner of things and say we're doing it in the name of the Lord, and we're doing it for ourselves and not with the love of God in it. It means nothing. It means nothing. It's pretty plain. Anything done without love is useless. Paul's not saying a lack of love diminishes our impact. You know what he's saying? It eliminates it. That's pretty strong words. That's pretty strong. You want to know if Christ dwells within you? John 13, 34 and 35 says it. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. That's how you can tell if the love of God is dwelling within you. That's how you can tell if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. I think that's pretty straightforward. And those words are in red, by the way. Jesus said those. And to further drive the point home, look at Galatians 5, 22 through 23. I preached on this a while back, part of it anyway, over in Galatians 5. But it says this, but the fruit of the Spirit, what's number one? Is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and meekness and temperance. Against such there is no law. Did you notice why love is number one? It's because you won't have joy, you won't have peace, you won't have long-suffering, you won't have gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, or temperance without love. For all those other things come out of love being within your life. You long-suffering, you have the love of God in your heart. Amen? Absolutely. Listen. They all flow out of love. It will be the controlling factor of our spiritual lives, absolutely, and the controlling factor of our ministry. Can I tell you something about this old boy? If I'm standing up here preaching at somebody and not preaching to a crowd, then I'm wrong. I'm not up here trying to preach to anybody. I need to do it out of love. Anything that I do needs to be done out of love, not because I don't like somebody or because I think this one's that way and I think that one's this way. If I do it that way, I'm closing this up and I'm getting out of this pulpit, because that's not the way that it should be done. Listen, you see, the Corinthian church was trying to have the gifts of the Spirit without the fruit of the Spirit. That's exactly what this is what they were trying to do. They were trying to minister in a selfish way without love. 1 Corinthians 16, 14, let all things be done with charity. Everything. Listen, brothers and sisters in Christ, listen to me this morning. Anything that you do, I don't care if you're a janitor in this church. I don't care if what you're doing out of this church. It says, let everything be done with charity or with love. With love. That's a pretty strong statement, but that's not me saying it. That's Paul telling the Corinthian church, and he's telling us this morning. Again, in 1 Corinthians 13, it says this, charity suffereth long, charity and is kind, charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doeth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, rejoiceth in the truth, bearing all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. The first thing it says there is this. First thing, charity suffers long. Love is patient. Can I have an amen? Love is patience. Anybody in here have children? You've learned patience. Amen? And you will continue to learn patience until the day that you go out of this world. Love is patience. In Luke 21:19, in your patience possesses ye your soul. The definition of patience is this: the ability to wait or to continue doing something despite difficulties, or to suffer without complaining. To suffer, I'm going to say it again, to suffer without complaining or becoming annoyed. I need to get on my knees a lot. I get annoyed. And the Lord has to deal with me a lot about stuff like that. That's what patience is. Brother, anybody here never been annoyed? Am I the only one? Yeah. We've all been there, right? We've all been there. But God works with us, does He not? He tries to bring us through these things. Love never gives up. It's patient. Only the love of God in us will allow us to do this. I'm telling you, only the love of God. Love is also kind. In other words, love cares more for others than it does their own selves. That's what that means. Can you? And I'm not going to ask you to stick up your hands, because that's not what this is about. But do you care for others more than you care for yourself? Do you? Let me ask you something. We get up in the morning, we take care of ourselves, we get ourselves ready to go to work or go out wherever we're going. You know, that's taking care of ourselves, right? The Bible says we're to take care of others, even think of others more than we think about ourselves. I'm telling you, that is hard. That's hard. I'm not saying it's not. Love, you know, love is kind. In other words, love cares for others. Philippians 2:3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Wow. I know. We are to value others above ourselves. Charity envieth not. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. I'm talking to you about what love should be like in our lives. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. James 3:16. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. It doesn't boast and is not proud. James, but now ye rejoice in your boasting. Now get this, all such rejoicing is what? Is evil. That's what it says. I've known some people down through my life that are pretty boastful. I'm talking about some people in church. James 4:6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Proverbs 16:5, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Love doth not behave itself unseemingly. It does not dishonor others. 1 Peter 2:17, say we are to honor all men. Our moms and our dads, Ephesians says we're to honor our moms and dads. We are to honor church elders, 1 Timothy 2:5-17. We are to honor widows, 1 Timothy 5:3. We are to honor spouses, 1 Peter 3:7, and Ephesians 5:22. And our elders and our older individuals, we are to honor them as well. That pretty much covers everybody, amen? We're to honor every... The word honor in the Greek means to revere them. That's what it means. And it goes on to say, love seeketh not our own. It's not self-seeking. It's not self-absorbed. Notice that love is a pronoun. In this pronoun world that we live in, love is a pronoun. Love, it says it's her. Did you notice that? It says that... It says love is not self-absorbed, is not egotistical, is not self-centered. An individual who always demands his or her own way, or always insists on having their own way, is not showing God's love in their life. That's what it says right there. Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Love is not easily provoked. You know what that means? It's not easily angered and doesn't fly off at the handle. I have to learn that one a lot. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to be honest with you. This old boy here needs a lot. Needs to be on his knees a lot too. How about you? Proverbs 14:70. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. Proverbs 14:29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. James 1:19-20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Goes on to say, thinketh no evil. This is very interesting to me. It keeps no records of wrong. That's what that means. Keeps no records of wrong. You know somebody in your past? Oh man, they've done me wrong. I know them. It keeps no... The love of God keeps no record of wrongdoing. None. There's times we have a tendency to keep records, do we not? We have a tendency to keep in the back of our mind, well, that person done me wrong. I'm going to make sure that I remember that one day. Brothers and sisters, the love of God tells us that we should not keep records that way. We should not. Romans 12:17-19, recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Let God handle the work. You just remember to keep praying for him. Matthew 6:14. For if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you also your trespasses. So what's it tell me if you don't want to forgive somebody? He's not going to forgive you. That's what it says. Mark 11:25. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses, and do what? And then he'll hear your prayers. Then he'll hear your prayers. And husbands and wives, I say this a good bit, but this is personal for me to you. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto your wife, as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. That your prayers be not hindered. Why? Because if you're constantly doing this, there's no way that your prayers are going to get answered. Husband and wife, do you understand that? That's what it's saying. Not that it says the woman's a weaker vessel. It's not meaning that she's weaker minded or weak, this and that. It's not what that means. It's just talking about how that the man should be the spiritual head of the household. That's what it's saying. Not putting a woman down. Brothers and sisters, if people keep battling one another, especially husband and wife, listen, we're to honor our wives. We're to honor our husbands. And in doing that, our prayers can be answered. You wonder why sometimes prayers aren't answered in your household? Dig into it and find out if that's what's going on. Dig into it. Folks, I'm telling you, I'm just giving you a little bit of stuff this morning about love. Just what love should be doing in our lives. I'm going to finish up here. I know the kids are wanting to get out there and hunt eggs. if they can get out there in it. But, brothers, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these three is love for a reason. Because, folks, love will win a lost soul. You show somebody that you love them, truly love them, no matter where they're, how they are, what they're, truly love them. Listen, I can stand up here and talk to somebody, and they're going to know whether in a minute whether or not I really care for them or not, right? Right? They're going to know. Do you really? You don't really care for me. We need to make sure that they understand that we truly care for them. The God of love shined through us. Brothers, when he died on that cross, when he died and rose again, and he lives today, and I'm telling you, until he comes back to get his church or until he takes you out of here, one or the other, there's hope. There's hope. Christians live by hope, and there's hope for the lost. And I tell you this morning, Julie's going to get us an overhead here in a minute. She don't care. If you would, let's stand. If you have a need this morning, man, what a good day to find the Lord. What a wonderful day to come. I mean, any day is a good day, but listen, this is Easter.